in Romans chapter number 14, where he would say, "For it is written, as I live, saith the Lord, let every knee bow and every tongue confess to God." When Paul was quoting those things, he was actually quoting a passage out of the book of Isaiah in the Old Testament. You remember Isaiah was a prophet in the nation of Israel. Well, the children of Israel are in bondage and captive in Babylon. Many Jews at that time turned from God. Sad to say, they began to worship other false gods and idols. Listen to me this morning. Hard times can draw us to God, or hard times can drive us away from God. Struggles are not the catalyst of our reaction to hard times. Struggles only reveal the heart. Did you get that? Struggles only reveal our heart. Do we really trust God or not? Now, God was assuring the Jews that He could save them and that He could from their trials, and that He alone was worthy to worship. And God made it clear in Isaiah 42, 23, when He said, "To me every knee shall bow and every tongue shall swear allegiance." And when Paul would quote them later, he was just reaffirming the fact that God is God supreme. Amen? And he was saying, when he would say that in Philippians, about every knee bowing and every tongue confessing, it was just a foreshadowing of what was going to happen at the second coming of Christ. You see, at the first coming of Jesus, He came in humility and died a humiliating death on the cross of Calvary for the sins of the world. But hang on, okay, honey. He's coming back the second time with power as a conquering king this time. And when it happens, when the Lord will come forth, every knee will bow and every tongue will confess that He is Lord of lords. Now, how big is your God? Huh? Can you describe Him to me? If you have your Bible, the book of Genesis chapter number 1, and I hope you're ready this morning. I hope you're going to hang on to your seat a little bit this morning, because we're going to go fast, and I'm going to tell you now, I don't plan to breathe for the next 28 minutes, okay? I turned around and looked at Hosea a moment ago, and I said, "You better get ready, I'm ready to preach." I tell you what, this worship service this morning was great. Are you awake this morning? Say amen. Are you ready to learn something? Say amen. Amen. Are you ready for God to challenge your heart today? Say amen. Amen. Whew, I tell you, I'm going to do my best to describe to you the glory of God, the majesty of the Lord Jesus Christ, and the splendor of the Holy Spirit this morning. I hope you didn't just sing those songs this morning. I hope you were worshiping today. Do you believe forever God is faithful? Amen. Then it said, "Give thanks to the Lord our God and King. His love endures forever, for He is good and above all things. For His love endures forever and ever and ever and ever." Whew, that ought to make even an old dead Baptist shout every now and then. Yet try as I might, God is so wonderful. I'll be honest this morning, He is almost indescribable. Uncontainable. He placed the stars in the sky and he knows Him by name. He's an amazing God. Amen? I'm telling you, I'm about to get primed here now. Are you with me? Are you getting it? Are you plugged in? How great is our God? He's a name above all names. He is worthy to be praised. My heart will sing, "How great is our God." I tell you, Jesus, Savior, Lord, what a beautiful name it is. You have no rival. You have no equal. Now and forever our God reigns. Yours is the kingdom. Yours is the glory. Yours is the name above all names. What a wonderful name it is. What a powerful name it is. The name of Jesus Christ, my King. I heard of the little boy who was standing gone to the beach and just waded out into the water just a little bit, looking out at the ocean. And the water was just about ankle deep on him. In a moment, a big old wave came rolling in and just crashed into him. It was knee deep, almost waist deep on the little boy. And he just stood there and danced up and down in glee and said, "It's so deep! It's so deep!" And I look at that little child standing at the edge of the water saying, "How deep it is." He had no idea of the depth of the ocean. They tell us the ocean at the average is a depth of over 12,000 feet. At the deepest part of the ocean, just out off of southwest of Guam, they tell us it's 36,200 feet. It is 6.8 miles deep. And the little boy standing there knee-deep in water saying, "It's so deep! It's so deep!" He could no more comprehend of the depth of the ocean than you and I truly comprehend how great our God is. A.B. Henderson, a great preacher of years gone by, introduced one of his messages and said, "Out of the vast depths of the oceans of biblical truth, I should like to just dip a thimbleful and pour out for you today." That's the way I feel this morning. Would you stand out of respect to the Word of God as we read just a few verses out of Genesis chapter number 1? Genesis 1:1, and many of you could quote this passage. "In the beginning God created the heaven and the earth, and the earth was without form and void, and darkness was upon the face of the deep, and the Spirit of God moved upon the face of the waters." The Spirit of God. I believe the Trinity was involved in creation all the way through. You see it here. You see it down in verse 26. "And God said, let us make man in our image." I believe the Trinity was there. When we see God creating the earth, creating the waters and all here, he said, "The Spirit of God moved over the waters." I believe that was the literal Spirit of the Holy Spirit. But that word Spirit can also be translated breath. Do you understand it was the Word of God, the breath of God that created all that we see? The majesty of the mountains, the beauty of the forest, the wonders of the ocean, the grandeur of the stars, the splendors of heaven were all created with the Word of God. Verse 3, "And God said, let there be light, and there was light. And God saw the light, that it was good, and God divided the night from the darkness. And God called the day, called the light day, and the darkness he called night. In the evening and the morning were the first day." Let's have a word of prayer. Now, Father, would you help our finite minds this morning understand the infinite? Help our limited understanding grasp the majesty of creation. Would we see the power of your words? Would we get a glimpse of your love? Could we just get a peek of your concern for us? And yet would we see the grandeur, the fulfillment of your plan in the end. Father, this morning, bless the time we have together, for it's in Christ's name we pray. Amen. Thank you. You may be seated. As I try to describe God to you this morning, I just want to use four simple statements. They're on the back of your bulletin. If you would like to follow along, you may want to make some notes there and go back later and look at them. We need to be reminded this morning that in creation we can see His power. We're all aware of the Genesis account of creation. On day number 1, God created day and night. Day 2, He created the sun and the seas. On day 3, He created dry land and vegetation. Day 4, He created the sun, the moon, and the stars. Day 5, the fish of the sea and the fowls of the air. Day 6, the animals, and ultimately His crowning creation, man. I want you to understand the power of this God that we worship. Just to kind of bring it into perspective for us, I want us really to skip down to day number 4 when God created the sun, the moon, and the stars. See, it's an amazing thought. We worship a God that is totally indescribable. As try as hard as we might, we cannot fully describe Him. All you have to do is walk outside on a dark night and look up into the heavens and see all of the stars that are there. You'll realize just how powerful our God is. I'll never forget, we used to live on the north side of Houston, Texas, and there were city lights from all the way from we lived to, 30, 40 miles to downtown Houston, solid lights. It was, even at night, it wasn't all that dark, but you could look up and see a few stars. We first moved to Missouri, and then we moved out to the old King Wilhite place out north of Walnut Grove. I mean, the nearest neighbor was a mile away. It was dark at night. We went outside, and Jeffrey looked up to me, and he said, "Daddy, why is it in Missouri they have more stars than we did in Texas?" I just love that. You look up at the stars at night and you realize how wonderful God is. We worship a God that is beyond our wildest dreams. By the word of the Lord, the heavens were made, and by the breath of His mouth, He spoke everything into being. We live in just a subdivision of the universe. It's called the Milky Way. In our galaxy, we live on a cul-de-sac that is called the Lanakea supercluster. Lanakea is literally a Hawaiian name for open skies or immense heavens. That's just where we live here in our little galaxy. Now, if you wanted to travel across our subdivision here, if you wanted to travel across the Milky Way, you would travel via a light year. That's how you would travel. Now, a light year is when light travels for 186,000 miles a second. And then you think about how far that light would travel in a year. That would come out to somewhere around 5.88 trillion miles a year. That's a long ways. And if you just wanted to travel from one side of our Milky Way to the other side of the Milky Way, they said it would take you 100,000 light years to get across town. Okay, just that far, 100,000 light years to get across the Milky Way. Honey, you better fill up with gas before you head across town. Okay. Our little subdivision, the Milky Way galaxy, is home to billions and billions of stars. Not hundreds, not thousands, not millions, but billions. There are other galaxies, there are other subdivisions, if you will, on out there past the Milky Way, that they too have hundreds and hundreds of billions of other stars. They said if you were to try to count the stars in our galaxy, in the Milky Way galaxy, and if you counted one star every second, it would take you 2,500 years just to count the stars in the Milky Way. Do you get an idea of how big this place is? And then you can zoom on out from the Milky Way from there. One per second. 2,500 years. Estimated 788.4 billion stars. Yet Isaiah said to God, ask a question and then He'll answer it Himself in Isaiah chapter number 40. To whom then will ye liken me? Who shall I be equal, saith the Holy One? Who can you even compare God to? He said, lift up your eyes on high. Behold, who hath created these things that bringeth out their host by number? He created them, the stars, by the greatness of His might, for He is strong and powerful. Not one of them faileth. Isaiah chapter 40, verses 25 and 30 through 31. He's talking about He brings the stars out by night, and He calls them by name, and He knows every one of them. 788 billion stars, and He calls them out by name every night. Does that even begin to get a hold of you, how big that is, what that number is? I had three brothers. There were just four boys. And Mama would get mad at us, and she'd say, Marvin, get in here. She'd go down the list. You know, your mama ever do that? Go down the list and call everybody by name before she could get the right one. Some of you may do that now with your kids or grandkids. And yet God calls every one of the stars by name every night, and He calls them out for us to enjoy. If you just want to look about how amazing God is, you might want to write this down. Google The Awe Factor of God by Francis Chan. The Awe Factor of God by Francis Chan. He lays it out with graphics, just how wonderful, how large this universe is. You beginning to see how big and powerful our God is. He created all of this. He created it with just His word, by His breath. And then he placed man in the middle of all of this in the Garden of Eden. He put man in that place. Man had everything he could want, everything he could need. But it wasn't long till Adam messed it up. He disobeyed God and he fell. But God said, no. I don't want to give up on man that easy. I've spent so much time creating all of this. I've given him everything, all of these things to enjoy, all of this beauty. I'm not going to give up on him. So see, in creation we see his power, but at the cross we get a glimpse of his love. See, from the very beginning, when God created the universe, God and Jesus Christ, Scripture says, they sat down and planned his death on the cross of Calvary because God knew that man was going to make a mess of things. But God was not content to turn his back on man and walk away and never fellowship with man again. And so we can get a glimpse of God's love at the foot of the cross. We can get a glimpse of God's love at the foot of Calvary. God sent his son to die on the cross. Jesus became our substitute. He stepped up and he said, Father, let me pay the debt of mankind. I'll take that on myself. I will reconcile him to you. I like the songwriter said, I owed a debt I could not pay. Jesus paid a debt he did not owe. That's what he did on the cross of Calvary. And if we had time, we could elaborate and we could illustrate the death of Christ on the cross of Calvary. Isaiah would say here in chapter 53, he hath borne our sorrows and griefs. He has carried them. Yet we did esteem him stricken, smitten of God, and afflicted. He was wounded for our transgression. He was bruised for our iniquities. The psalmist would describe how Jesus would be whipped and beaten. To the point it said he was not even recognizable as a man. Psalms 22 verse 14 says all of his bones would be moved out of joint. Isaiah said you couldn't even tell him that he was human. Surely he must have loved us to endure such a death on the cross of Calvary. Did you see George Lamarcus post on Facebook this week? He said you can run out of a lot of things in your life, but you will never run out of God's love for you. We could see in creation, we see God's power, and at the cross we get a glimpse of his love, and yet in my life, I wish I could just stay here all day. In my life, I get a peek of his concern. See, this is where it begins to come home now. We think of how great this universe is, and yet how small man is within the scope of this creation. And we would say, how could God even care about us? How could God even know about us? We are so small and insignificant. If you would be able to zoom out from where we are on this earth and see just the earth, and then if you would see our solar system, and then just see the galaxy and the Milky Way, and then further and further and further out, how does God even know I'm here? How does he know I exist? Let me ask you. Who do you love more than anyone else in this world? Who is your life more intertwined with than anyone else in this world? Who do you feel like you know them intimately, closely? You know every detail about their life. You love them with all of your heart. Maybe it's a spouse, a parent, a child, a friend, a loved one, whoever. Who do you love? Let me test your love for them this morning, okay? How many hairs do they have on their head? Tamara said, that's easy. Well, preacher, I love them. You really love them? Well, how many hairs are on their head? Well, I don't know. I never counted. Hey, listen to this. Did you know God loves you so much? He counts the hairs of your head. And for some of us, that number changes and gets smaller every day. He's watching over you every day, every hour, every minute, and he knows every detail about what you're going through. He knows what you're facing. Oh, well, here's where I just like to stay a while. He cares about you. I like again what the songwriter said, may I introduce you to this friend of mine who hangs out the stars and the sun to shine, and he kisses the flowers each morning with dew. But oh, he's not too busy to care about you. The God who created this endless universe, it's ever expanding. He still knows about us. In creation, I see his power. At the cross, I get a glimpse of his love. In my life, I get a peek of his concern. But in eternity, we're going to see the fulfillment of his plan. I love John 14. Let not your heart be troubled. You believe in God. Believe also in me, Jesus said. But in my Father's house are many mansions. If it were not so, I'd have told you. He said, I go to prepare a place for you. And if I go, I will come again, receive you unto myself, that where I am, there ye may be also. You see, this world's not the end. Our problem is we get all wrapped up in making a living and living in this world and going through the day-to-day things that we forget there's another life to come. John was exiled in prison. He was put out on the Isle of Patmos. Did you know Alcatraz was not a new idea? You read it in the scripture. They put John out on the Isle of Patmos. That was the Alcatraz of that day. And as you start reading the book of Revelation, it starts out, I was in the Spirit on the Lord's day. You know what that says to me? It doesn't matter what our circumstances are. We can still enjoy some fellowship with God. John had been beaten. He'd been boiled in oil. Still alive. They put him on the Isle of Patmos, and he's still praising God. And when he's praising God, something happened. And John begins to tell about all these coming events. But then as you get on down to chapter 21, John said, I saw a new heaven and a new earth, for the first heaven and the first earth were passed away, and there was no more sea. And I, John, saw the holy city, the new Jerusalem, coming down from God out of heaven, prepared as a bride, adorned for her husband. And he said, in that day God will wipe away all tears from the eyes, and there shall neither be no more death, neither sorrow nor crying, neither shall there be any more pain, for the former things are passed away. And he that sat on the throne said, behold, I make all things new. Whoo, I tell you, you begin to get a glimpse of what it's going to be like in heaven. John said, I was carried in the Spirit to a great and high mountain. He showed me a great city, the new Jerusalem, coming down from God out of heaven. Having the glory of God in her, and the light was likened to a stone most precious, even like jasper. He described the gates entering the city as great pearls. The 12 foundations of the wall going around it, each one a precious stone. Then he said in Revelation 22, verse 3, and there shall be no more curse. I can't wait for that day. It's a very simple message this morning. I hope you did more than just sing the songs a while ago. I hope you worshiped. And I hope you begin to get an idea of how great our God is. Savannah, why don't you go ahead and come? You getting it? How big is your God? In creation, we see his power. He took the solar system. He created the sun, the planets, and all around it. And I tried to put it in perspective a little bit this morning. Our solar system would be about the size of a quarter. If you compared it to the Milky Way galaxy, our solar system would be about the size of a quarter. The Milky Way is about the size of the North American continent. Wait a minute. Now, there are millions and millions of other galaxies out there. See how big all of this is? Now, we're just not that important, I guess it seems like, in our little cul-de-sac when you put it all in perspective. We're just a speck somewhere out there among those billions of stars. That's you and that's me. We're just a little speck. I'm trying to help you see just how small you are for a minute, okay? Once you get that, I want you to see that you are significant in significance. As tiny as we are, you get this? as tiny as we are in this great universe, we are known and prized by majesty. He knows us even though we're just a little speck in the vast cosmos of all the stars. And just like God can look out there and call each star by name and bring them out at night, God knows each and every one of us by name. He goes through the crowd. Hosea, I know you. Harley. He goes through the crowd. Linda, I know you. Bev, I know you. Dave, I know you. Wade, I know you. He knows us. He knows the hairs of our head. But listen to this. Not only does he just know you, he loves you, he cares about you. If he cared that much about creating all the universe for us to enjoy, don't you think he knows and cares about what you're going through today? In creation, I see his power. At the cross, I see, I get a glimpse of his love. But in my life, I get a peek of his concern. So what are you dealing with today? What are you dealing with? I'm here to tell you, you're not alone. God's here with you. He's walking with you, hand in hand, whatever you're going through. He cares for you. He wants to be involved in your life. How often do you sit and talk to him? Just sit down and have a conversation with God. Do you ever look at him and just say, God, I just want to say I love you? Do you honor him with your life? Do you honor him with your possessions, your speech, your actions, your attitude? The desire this morning is, let's just fall in love with God all over. Would you stand? We're going to have a word of invitation. We're going to have a word of prayer, and then we're going to have an invitation. I just want you to fall in love with God all over again. Father, this morning I come to you in prayer. Whoo, Lord, it's been tough.